In the weeks after the election, one thing has become clear. White working-class voters are responsible for electing President Trump. As a liberal reporter living in a big city, I couldn't understand why people would vote for a racist, sexist demagogue. So today, I'm getting outside my comfort zone and sitting down in this room with a Trump voter to try and figure out why they voted for him.
Look who's here.
Okay, no, that's my mom. That's my mom in there, so we can just... That's my mom in there. That's my mom.
Yeah.
You booked my mom for
Your
this segment.
Your mom voted for Trump, so...
Well, I was thinking we could get someone from West Virginia. I was thinking like a coal miner or a steel worker or someone who fracks.
Your mom voted for Trump, so that's...
Okay, well, we don't really... My mom and I don't talk about politics.
Okay, but so. You said you wanted to get a Trump
fine,
voter,
fine,
so...
Okay, fine. So you voted for Donald Trump?
Yes.
Why?
Well, taxes.
Okay. We need to find someone else. We need someone who wears coveralls for real. Someone who smokes cigarettes inside. Someone who's not my mom.
We have a backup. If you want, there's a backup in there.
Okay, great. Okay, so let's talk politics. You voted for Donald Trump.
Yes. Those emails.
Right. But the racist stuff and the sexist stuff.
Who does that really affect, you know, when you think about it?
Okay, yeah. Yeah. You know, I can't do this. No, I'm not. I can't. I want someone who watches Jeff Dunham, someone who watches Pawn Stars, someone who watches The Big Bang Theory.
The Big Bang Theory is a tremendous television program.
Oh my God, get me someone else!
All right, we have someone from Pennsylvania, if you
Good, want. Yes, perfect. Thank you. Why do you keep filming?
Oh, hi. You look great.
Thank you. Hi. Of course, this is my cousin Alicia. She's a lawyer in Philadelphia, which is technically Pennsylvania. Great. So, Alicia, you voted for Trump.
Yes.
Let me guess. Abortion.
Oh, yeah. But also black on black crime. Chicago.
Okay, you know what? All right. You passed over the opportunity to vote for the first female president. I am here trying to make a bold, important... Oh, yep. Okay, let's get everyone in. Yeah, mom, dad. Oh, great. You have cousin Shelby, cousin Josh. Great to see you. Good hat. Josh, great. You got everyone. You really got everyone, didn't you? Okay, look. I wanted to make a point about how Trump voters are different than me, but realizing you're the same as me and also voted for Trump makes me feel like we're never going to agree on anything here because I don't know you guys. You are all spineless. You're like Ted Cruz.
Fuck that guy.
Don't even get me started on that traitor.
Yeah, he sucks, right?
I would like to fuck that guy right the fuck up.
Wow, I guess that is something we all find funny. Wow. Oh, God, you guys would definitely vote for him if he ran on a Republican ticket, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it's you have to.
Not a question.
Party loyalty.
With a twist, and also known as the
y'all. On your iTunes. Your Android, your iOS. Huddlemag.com. She knows how to twist. John Robinson. On Friday's Cafe.org. In Tower Corner, your HypeMagic.com. We're all doing the twist here. I'm and do. Yeah, we're going to get into a little something tonight. Today. Next week. I don't know. I took a tab of LSD later, you know. I mean, earlier, I should say. But I don't know. I'll be back.
Breaking news, plane crash in Colombia. 81 people on board, including a soccer team. At least five made it out alive. Now emergency responders are on the scene, and ABC's David Curley has all the latest. Good morning, David.
Morning, George. It is amazing. We are talking about survivors this morning, considering how this small jetliner went down and where it went down.
Emergency crews carrying the handful of survivors of the jet crash into local hospitals. Remarkable considering this, the wreckage in the mountainous area around Medellin. With just six survivors, rescue crews expect to start the recovery of the other 75 people who were on board, many of them members of that Brazilian soccer team on its way to a tournament. The British aerospace RJ-85, owned by a charter company, was nearing the end of a very long flight from southern Brazil and Bolivia to Colombia. The jet circled near Medellin, and the crew reportedly said they had an electrical problem before the jet went down. Video was taken of the soccer team, the Chapecoense, before they boarded the jet, and on board, one of the players, Alan Ruchel, a 27-year-old defender, posted pictures with his teammates. Ruchel reportedly one of the survivors. The team posting a statement, "May God accompany our athletes, officials, journalists, and other guests traveling with our delegation."
So at least one of the players reportedly in the hospital, and it was really a Cinderella story for this team. It's a regional team. They were going to finals. They had beat some very powerful teams to get to this. The investigation starting at daylight, George. It's a tragedy for this team from Brazil.
It certainly is. Remarkable, though, David, that anyone could survive a crash like this.
Yeah, you know, it's remarkable. We really don't know much, but depending on how this plane went down, how it hit, where you were sitting, that's how some people can survive and others perish. You know, part of the aircraft could break off and actually land softly, and the other part could be destroyed. So it's really, it's too early to know what happened, but there are a lot of factors that could play into why these folks survive.
Sending in the mirror. What's that icy thing hanging right? too. Tony beef up. Turn the bass up. Tony beef up. Let's go. I'd wanna be me too. I'd wanna be me too. I'd wanna be me. If I was you, I'd wanna be me too. I'd wanna be me too. I'd wanna be me too. If I was you, I'd wanna be me too. I'd wanna be me too. I'd wanna be me too. If I was you, I'd wanna be me too. I'd wanna be me too. I'd wanna be me too.
Awesome, Meghan Trainor. You're listening to Views with a Twist. That's I don't know, man. I had something really like crazy just going on in my mind, so I decided to start off with a little Chubby Checker, and you know, and actually with the whole Trump. You know, you can't get Trump out of your mind because he's going to be your president now. So. You got to sit back and listen. You got to sit back and listen. You got to sit back and prepare because it's going to be 4 years of a really crazy roller coaster ride. So listen, why not? You know. But anyway, you can get me on your iTunes, your iOS, your Android, on Podomatic.com, on SoundCloud. John Robinson at writerscafe.org, Talaquana, your-poetry.com. Your hyphen is a stretch, just in case. I'm not putting you down, but some people don't, you know, like strange words like hyphen. Yeah, listen, for years I never knew what it was, you know, but, you know, your-poetry.com. And, hey, check it out. I don't know.
Many Ohio State students left shaken, trying to make sense of the sudden attack.
A lot of people are experiencing fear and kind of shock and sadness.
I was freaking out. I wanted to know what was going on.
Some gathering for a prayer vigil hours after the suspect was taken down, as investigators work to determine what triggered Abdul Razak Ali Artan.
It's an ongoing investigation to determine motive and if anybody else was involved in this act.
Police say it began when OSU student Artan, a native of Somalia, who had transferred to the university this year, rammed his car into a crowd on campus Monday morning.
Additional units there at 19th and College. We have several pedestrians struck by a vehicle.
Law enforcement officials say Artan then got out of his car and began attacking people with a butcher's knife, injuring several before being intercepted by university police officer Alan Harajoko.
People are like really running and like really screaming. I'm like, oh, this is like something's going on. And then I heard the three gunshots.
Officer Harajoko quickly shooting and killing Artan.
Our officers was on scene in less than a minute, and he ended the situation less than a minute.
Investigators towing away Artan's car late Monday, searching his townhouse for evidence. Authorities are also looking into a post he allegedly made on Facebook shortly before the attack, saying he was sick of the way Muslims are being treated. Ohio State's president urging the community to unite as the investigation unfolds.
We don't know anything that would link this to any community. We certainly don't have any evidence that would say that's the case.
A university faculty member and seven students were among those injured. Ohio State officials are planning a large university gathering tonight as a show of support for the students. Mary and Chris.
And folks, this is JDR, and you're listening to Views with a Twist. Complaint Department, sometimes known as CD. You know, I don't know to say if it's fortunate or unfortunate, but there were few casualties in that scene in Ohio. I guess I just wanted to say that. And before you were hearing Meghan Trainor, if I was you. I wanna be me too. I love that song. I love that song. But hey, did you hear about this dude that took the bucket of gold from the armored car? I mean, he just walked up behind the armored car. There was nobody standing behind the armored car. And he took a bucket full of gold. I don't know, worth like, I don't know, something over $1 million or whatever. And this guy just walked up. Here's the thing. This bucket of gold weighed like almost 100 pounds. And this guy carried it, like, to his car or some shit, you know? And, like, just I'm tripping out. Now, the second thing here is, usually with armored cars, you know, there's supposed to be a guard standing behind that car. I mean, behind that truck. You know, he's supposed to be standing, somebody's supposed to be standing there looking out. And from what I understand, the driver went to the driver's side and there was nobody else. And my boy saw an opportunity and took it. I don't blame him. I'm serious. I don't blame him. I got to tell you. If I'm walking up on an armored car and there ain't nobody standing around, just a bunch of people walking up and down the street, I'm not going to take a bucket like that because that thing weighs 100 pounds. I got to take it to the train station, take it downstairs, use my card, fucking schlep this thing in, but no way, I'm not doing it. But, you know, I'd probably take like a couple of fucking stacks of bills and just stuck them in my pocket. I'd probably do that. You know? Listen, these people are insured, okay? I'm not stealing from an old lady here. I'm stealing from Brinks or whoever the hell they are. You know? So that's really crazy stuff. You heard earlier, I think, about the plane crash in South America where there were over 60 fatalities, from what I understand, and a lot of them were from this soccer team. From what I understand, they were kind of sort of like an up-and-coming group of guys that, you know, were on their winning ways, you know. Hey, life hits you in strange ways. Here's another thing, folks. Joe McKnight, ex-Jets football player that was shot in Louisiana, if I'm not mistaken. And the guy that shot him, I think his name is Perry, Gary, something like that. I don't know what his name is. Was a 55-year-old white guy that shot Joe McKnight. And there was allegedly a witness that said Joe McKnight was apologizing when this guy just, you know, took out a gun, shot him, and then McKnight hit the ground, and then the guy walked up to him and he said, "Don't you ever fuck with me," or something like that. Something to that extent. Folks, from what I understand, I've got new information. That never happened. This witness, there is no witness. Because people are asking, why was this guy taken in and then released? Well, we all don't know that. I don't know that. I have no idea. Maybe this guy, because Louisiana has a stand your ground law, especially if you're being like carjacked or if you think you're being carjacked, you have the right to use deadly force. So I can't tell you why this guy was released. They're going to give out more information. Don't rush to judgment. Did I just say rush to ED? Don't rush to judgment. Don't start doing the black on white thing. Wait for the facts. The facts are what are important here. They're always important. Okay? But right now, they're very important. Don't freak. Wait on the facts. I'll be back.
Presidential campaign, Mr. Trump rallied against Carrier's decision to move a factory to Mexico. Back in June, even President Obama weighed in on this and mocked Trump for saying he could get Carrier to stay. We have the tape. Here it is.
Trump came to Indiana and talked a lot about what happened with the Carrier Corporation and shipping their jobs out of state. Here's someone who worked for Carrier, and he has a question for you.
How you doing, Mr. President?
How are you?
My name is Eric Cottenham, and I'm representing the Steelworkers Union, mm-hmm. Local 1999, and I'm trying to find out what do we have left for as all of our jobs are leaving Indianapolis, right? And I see here you're doing a lot of things, but in Indianapolis, there's nothing there for us. I mean, what's next? I mean, what can we look forward to in the future as far as jobs, employment, whatever, because all of our jobs is left or in the process of leaving, sir.
When somebody says, like the person you just mentioned, who I'm not going to advertise for, that he's going to bring all these jobs back, well, how exactly are you going to do that? What are you going to do? There's no answer to it. He just says, well, I'm going to negotiate a better deal. Well, how exactly are you going to negotiate that? What magic wand do you have? And usually the answer is he doesn't have an answer.
And yet there was an answer today. 1,000 of those carrier jobs are apparently staying in Indianapolis. Joining us now to assess all of this, Eric Guster, trial attorney and political commentator. Eric, it's great to see you.
Great to see you.
There was a time when liberals were skeptical of unrestrained capitalism, and then somewhere along the line, they embraced market fundamentalism, and they speak like President Obama does, sentences like, there's nothing you can do. These are market forces beyond our control. We were an industrial economy. Now we're not. Get used to it. And yet, Trump is kind of proving that's not exactly right, is it?
Trump is not proving that's not exactly right, because Trump backpedaled on some things. First, he said, I'm going to put the hammer down on these companies.
Yeah.
They'll be scared to leave. And he's given them a $7 million incentive. That's what he worked out with Pence. Now, I don't know a company around that won't take a $7 million incentive. You know, where do you sign up for that?
Well, I think it's pretty common, actually, that states and municipalities make deals to get companies to stay there. But I mean,
yes, but that's not what Trump
said. Let me ask you a question. Is it really the position of liberal Democrats that it's wrong to use government policy to influence markets? Is that what you're saying? I mean, isn't this the kind of thing? I would think liberals would be in favor of this.
I mean, government has always instituted policy to try to help markets as far as different incentives for companies to stay, different incentives for people to build, just like federal tax credits to rebuild buildings, old buildings. So, of course, the federal government has always been there. But the issue that we have with what Trump has done is he has flipped the script. He said, I'm going to put the hammer down. They're going to be overly taxed because if they go to Mexico, I'm the big bad wolf. And then he gives them incentives.
So
the total opposite thing.
Well, he used a lighter touch than he said he would, which is probably
what?
Not
the lighter touch?
No,
I'm going to tax you versus give you $7 million.
But what I find so interesting.
$7 million?
Well, I mean, I don't know, for 1,000 jobs. And what's the cost?
But they lost, what, 600?
Yeah, they did.
Too.
They did.
So he didn't stop the whole thing like he was
the
counting.
The truth is, in Mexico, carrier workers make about $11 a day plus benefits. In Indianapolis, they make $30 an hour. So, you know, it's a hard sell to get them to stay here. But I'm just so interested to hear liberals like President Obama talk like teenage tech billionaires when they say things like, there's nothing we can do. You know, the wheels of capitalism roll on, and if you're crushed beneath them, tough luck to you. When did that change happen exactly?
We don't talk like that.
I mean, he does. There's nothing you can do.
The teenagers, Trump on his Twitter feed. Now, that's the teenager who's
just
in
saying,
this equation.
I mean, Obama's position is the same as Hillary Clinton's and Nancy Pelosi's, which is you're seeing your good-paying jobs that confer not just a salary but dignity disappear to third world countries because we get cheaper labor there, and we can't stop it. There's just nothing we can do at all. Like, when did that become liberal orthodoxy?
The government has to do a better job to keep companies here. I agree with that.
Oh, okay.
I do agree with that. We have to do a better job of keeping companies here. And I don't have a problem with incentives, but I have a problem with Trump claiming that he's going to punish people, then giving incentives, which is the total opposite of what he said. Because he put himself out as a big bad wolf. I'm going to stop them. They're going to be afraid to leave. But what these companies are going to have right now, some of these companies are going to threaten him, say, I'm going to leave, and then they're going to try to get an incentive package.
I don't think you're making a crazy point. It makes me uncomfortable when governments favor one company over another. We saw it a lot under the Obama administration with Solyndra, et cetera. But I also think, as an economic matter, you could make a cost-benefit analysis. Unemployment has really high costs for taxpayers.
Oh, I agree.
You have unemployment benefits, but then you also have all kinds of welfare programs, addiction treatment. I mean, it cascades down. So is it really a bad deal to spend $7 million to save 1,000 jobs? Maybe it's a net plus, actually.
It's not a bad deal. Okay. I'm not saying it's a bad deal.
Why not just say, you know what?
That is not what Trump sold people. He told people, I'm going to tax them, and that is what's going to keep them here, not give them incentives. I'm a business owner. I'm a real estate developer. Incentives drives the market. If you have three buildings you can choose from, one has incentives, two don't, you're going to pick the one with incentives. That's just the way it is. And that's the way companies are driven as well. If you can get tax breaks by hiring veterans, if you can get tax breaks by hiring teenagers who may have been in trouble, you're going to take them, of course.
Just for whatever it's worth, I don't actually think as president-elect he can change our tax code. So that may have something to do with the way he approached this. I don't know. Eric Guster, great to see you.
Great seeing you, too.
Thank you very
Congrats
much.
Congrats on your show.
Thanks.
Let me tell you something, folks. Deep, deep, deep conversation. I mean, those guys are really getting into it, you know. I mean, when they started to argue, man, I just wanted to step in and just say, hey. And then I realized, oh, shit, it's a tape. But anyway, you know, listen, you can have a lot of opinions on what just happened with the thing with Carrier and, you know, Trump saving those 1,000 jobs. I say this, and I'm not a Trump fan. I mean, I like Trump. I don't want him as my president. I like Trump. I think he's a good guy. I like his shows, yada, yada, yada. I like his loud mouth. You know what I mean? To be honest with you folks, right now, if Trump does well in the next 4 years, then what he would have done is a Muhammad Ali. Big mouth, backing it up. And he already started, and he hasn't even been, he's not even president yet until when? The 20th of January? And he's already saved 1,000 jobs. Now let me tell you something, folks. And I'm not a racist person, okay? But let me just go there. A lot of white people are going to be like, whoa, the savior has come down. Trump is Jesus Christ in orange hair. You know, it's seriously. And if Trump goes on, but listen, this is the thing. For me anyway, if Trump goes on and actually helps everybody, and when I say everybody, I mean everybody, when he starts hitting the hood and starts getting those kids jobs, those fathers jobs, so that the black family isn't separated, there aren't women having hundreds of babies with 16 guys. There aren't guys having hundreds of babies with 27 women. You know? When he gets the trust of the minority neighborhoods, that's when I will trust him as my president. Now, as a military man, I have no choice but to accept him and to back him as a president. I have to back him. He's my president. I got no choice. You know, once military, always military. If you were trained right and, you know, went through the military like you were supposed to. There are a lot of jerks. They go there for a cup of coffee and they come out and, you know, and they hate the military. That's a totally different thing, okay? I was a guy. I was honorably discharged. I did my 3 years. And you are indoctrined and trained to accept and back your commander in chief. It's just that simple. So anyway, let me get my shout outs to the NYPD, the FDNY, North Shore Animal League, ASPCA, Pet Pardons. I haven't heard much from Pet Pardons. I hope they're still kicking it. Did I say Show Your Soft Side? If not, I just said it. SOS Wildlife, Alamander Frontier in Deutschland. And everybody that listens to me, you're listening to Views with a Twist. My name is JDR. On your iTunes, your Android, your iOS, Parliament.com. John Robinson at writerscafe.org and Tao Kwan at your-poetry.com. And I think I said on your iTunes, but I said it again. So, if I'm not back, I'm back next week.
A lot to get up to start working like again on stage, because then your mind ain't there and your spirit, and you're trying to go for it, and greed is a bitch. Greed said, go ahead, do it, they offer you so much money, and you're greedy, and then your humanity is larger than anything, right? It said, but you're not like that, you don't want to rip people off. You're trying to do the best, and you go out there and you make an ass of yourself and embarrass your friends and hold your dick. My greed does not exceed my self-respect, right? My greed is good, though. Greed is running a close motherfucking second. Greed is up there when I'm asleep. Greed is working on the self-respect. I'm like, say, why don't you just do it for a little more? I want to do the work. No, but I do a lot of shit now that I never did when I didn't have money. I didn't have the problems that I have now, like watching motherfuckers count it. Drive my accountant crazy, because I wake up at 3 in the morning and go, hey man, what the fuck, how much is it? What, prove it, bring it over. But it's 3 in the morning, fuck that, I want to see it now. And I got lawyers and shit. You know, lawyers are some expensive motherfuckers. I got a lawyer, first week the motherfucker bought me a bill for $40,000. I said, motherfucker, I just met you. And lawyers, they don't get upset, right? God damn it, wait a minute. Don't worry. Everything.
will be all right.
No, but I want to know why you got to... Why you...
Take it easy.
And you leave there feeling like an asshole. Right? You've been going, what the fuck am I yelling about? They come. I'm just facing 47 years. Them motherfuckers will keep you out of penitentiary and out of a lot of courts. But it's going to cost a lot. Some people must say, fuck it, I'll go to penitentiary. But you motherfuckers cost too much. Yeah, I can do 10 years in the penitentiary and get off better than these 30 you're going to put on me. I met some lawyers, right? I had a guy I'm suing. It's a black attorney. Was my brother, right on. He was beautiful, black brother. Right? The motherfucker took me hook, line, and sinker.
On dry land.
Next week, folks. Thank you for listening.